So next we're going to talk about budget change proposals, and Kurt was going to lead that off for us.
Okay, and I'll talk somewhat in generalities, because recall budget change proposals are confidential until they're released in the governor's budget in January 10. So by definition, you'll get a flavor of what these are, the things that we're thinking about to date, but it's not meant to be, you know, the final resolution to what we have going forward. I would also add to that that another complicating factor is trying to figure out the balance between what might be part of the overall ask for the branch and how that gets defined, as opposed to things that are BCP specific. So we have to still have additional discussions with the chief and E&P to try and figure out what is the best balance going forward. So among the items that I'm going to briefly mention, and these are not in any particular order, so they're not prioritized at all, is recall that we're supposed to get a repayment into the SCRCF account, that's the facilities account, of the $350 million. That's what's scheduled. So that would give us some opportunity to increase the amount of money that goes to facilities modifications. We will be seeking a general fund augmentation for security costs that are arising out of both facility issues, both capital, and for facilities mods. There is also work that has already been initiated on a general fund augmentation to support additional sheriff security staffing levels on a statewide basis. So Zlock and his staff are working on surveys. It's a little bit more tricky this time around, since security budgets are not part of the court budgets anymore, that we have to rely upon a coalition, if you will, of working with the counties and the sheriff's organizations to try and cull together a package that we could support going forward. So there already have been some discussions with the Sheriff's Association and with CSAC, and we have a meeting scheduled sometime, I think it's in the next 2 weeks, to formally present to them what our thought process is. A general fund augmentation to support additional infrastructure costs for facilities operations for new courthouses. So what's been happening is, as new courthouses come online, there has been a denial request from the Department of Finance for general fund augmentation to support these new facilities. Obviously, when you create a larger facility, there are additional infrastructure costs that need to be recognized in order to maintain those buildings. So that will be part of that effort. A general fund augmentation, absent the reinstatement of SAL or some version of that, to address inflationary cost increases related to facility operations costs for transferred facilities. A placeholder general fund request for technology needs for the branch as a whole. That's something that Judge Herman has been working on, and others in this room, like Jake Chatters, has had a large involvement in. An augmentation for the second 50 judgeships out of the 150 that had been previously approved, and then seeking an authorization for the third of the 50 judgeships. General fund benefit augmentation for the entire branch, that's retirement and health. So that's across the board. That's what we're seeking. That's what was denied this last year, but we're still going to fight that fight. Let's see. Placeholder general fund request for possible AOC staffing augmentations, and this relates to some of the new initiatives that the chief has talked about bringing forward, like the Blue Ribbon Commission as an example. And let's see, we've already submitted a placeholder, well, it's more than a placeholder, for capital outlay projects. So that's what we have so far. Again, this is totally unofficial. The council and the chief obviously are the ultimate say-so on what would go forward, but these are the thoughts that we have for the moment.
Kurt, what do you mean by placeholder? Can you explain what you mean by that?
With the Department of Finance, let me talk about the technology one in particular. So we've been working on developing a business plan and a strategic plan for technology for the branch as a whole. The question becomes one of timing, and will we have sufficient information going forward to get something through both the California Technology Department, no longer an agency, now it's a department, and the Department of Finance. So part of the strategy is to submit a placeholder BCP by September 30th to the Department of Finance, and hence CTD, with the understanding that creates a window of opportunity between September and February, which is called the finance letter process, where we can make sure that the business case and the strategic plan for technology is as solid as we can make it. So it's a race, if you will, between the efforts of the Judicial Council Technology Committee going forward and all the work stream groups that are dealing with these particular issues right now. So with finance, if you don't at least put them on notice that you may be doing something in the spring, early spring, February, then your likelihood of getting anything through is like slim and none. So that's part of the political process that we need to go through to let them know that those are the thoughts that we have going forward.
We also have working on the AB 109 realignment funding to the extent that it's not sufficient. We're gathering that data as well. But we wanted to get some input from this group in terms of what other ideas they thought would be worth pursuing. So,
Chris Volkers, because I'm new to this committee, I'm unclear on how this committee weighs in on potential BCPs or what's the process. You mentioned it's confidential, Judicial Council and the chief decide what's going to be applied or apply for. Does this committee have any input or say in what the potential BCPs are? How does it get vetted?
That's why we brought this issue before you for today's discussion.
But you said in general terms and you really couldn't disclose and you don't have numbers to go with the ideas. So I'm just wondering what the vetting process is.
And that's what we're trying to work out in terms of this is the first meeting of this nature in terms of an open forum. So we have to, if you will, respect the rules of finance and how they treat us. So we're trying to figure out that fine balance between getting input from everybody, yet moving constructively forward and not putting us at odds with the administration.
Let me just say the council does have to approve submission, and that at the August meeting will be when the council is presented the budget concepts that then get submitted to the Department of Finance on September 13th. That is the process.
Sherry Carter and then Judge Slough.
Okay, thank you. This is Sherry Carter. My suggestion would be that whenever we see that there's a mandated area that trial courts are having to fund locally because there's inadequate funding, it should somehow be targeted so there is an immediate process of discussing a BCP. For example, dependency counsel has been something that we've talked about for the 5 years that I've been with the state court system. I don't know if we put any in. I don't know if we have lately. But that's one that the minute we saw, that is totally out of our control. It's something that we all agree. The attorneys are underfunded. They're carrying very heavy caseloads in many counties. They're significantly underpaid in many counties. We could easily do the math and figure that out. And I would say the same is true with self-help. So the minute we see that a mandated area that's beyond the court's control is having to be funded with local funds, there should be a process where it immediately goes into the hopper at the AOC so that you immediately jump on that. Those are two areas that just came up in today's discussion, and there's probably others I'm just not thinking of. But those mandated areas that are beyond our funding methodology, that are beyond our control, I think should immediately get BCPs year after year after year until we get the money that we need.
Judge Slough?
And I actually, maybe it's because we're sitting close to each other, that was exactly going to be my point. We talked this morning about those critical areas, self-help, dependency counsel, all of the things that are important to all of us, and they're important to the legislators as well, and that's access to justice. And I was going to suggest the same thing.
Excellent.
Good idea.
Any other thoughts or suggestions on the types of budget change proposals that we should be seeking this year? Judge Wesley?
Since we no longer have to worry about security, and I have a letter dated September 8th, 2011, where from CSAC, the Judicial Council, and the California State Sheriff's Association, where the sheriffs say, finally, realignment clearly changed the source of funding for court security. It is not intended nor should result in reduced court security services delivery. And so the sheriffs are saying, we understand that it's been transferred now to the counties. Why do we want to take, we can support them going for a BCP change. CSAC, the counties, the sheriffs could go for a BCP change. Why do we want to take on that fight and spend our political capital there when we need to fight for funding for our trial courts? This is their fight now. We gave this up a while back, and I think I was on the council when we gladly gave it up because it was problematic every year for all the courts. So now it's a county problem, but we have an understanding that they're supposed to be providing the same level of services. If they're not, they're violating the law. But that's a different issue. And so why do we want to expend our political capital fighting for money for security when the county should be fighting for that because they have to provide the security?
Judge Slaw.
Well, it does impact us. For example, in San Bernardino County, the sheriffs have taken the position that we've closed courtrooms and therefore they don't have to provide even though the caseloads don't go down. I don't know, and I'm not familiar enough with the issue as to whether or not sheriff's departments, counties request BCPs. I don't think that they do. And I think that it does impact the courts critically, and I think we really should partner with those agencies to request money for them. Because I don't think all county sheriff's departments view that language as clearly as maybe we would interpret that language.
Yeah, I wish I had the language in front of me in terms of the statute. The letter may say one thing, but I know the law speaks to not reduce, but there's a comma.
You signed this letter.
I know, and I don't have the law in front of me. But the law speaks to the fact that to the extent that it doesn't generate additional costs.
It is so very vague language.
There's a reason why that language was written that way, was because they didn't want that requirement to actually be a requirement because otherwise it would have been a mandate. A reimbursable state mandate.
They have MOUs. They're required to give a certain level of service right now, and that's in their MOUs. So if they're not providing that level of service, then they're violating the law. But the question about their funding is not an issue for the courts anymore, and I don't know why we want to take up their fight. They actually do a better job of fighting for funding. The sheriffs are really good at getting money, and the legislature seems to listen to them more than they listen to us. Why do we want to take up their fight? We've got other issues that are more important to us, frankly. I understand how important security is, believe me. And we have the same fight you have, exactly the same fight as we close courthouses. Right. They want to cut our services, but the caseloads are still there. I understand that fight. But as far as funding goes, we have limited political capital to spend. And if you want to use it on behalf of the sheriffs, they don't need your help. If they say they need more money, we can support them, but why should the BCP come from us?
And that's assuming that they view it as we think they do, that they will go ask for the BCP, and I hope that they do, but I'm not so certain that they will because they interpret the law very differently, and then, quite frankly, it is a very, very vague statute.
Judge Wesley, I understand your concerns. I think the issue for us is, let us at least have this face-to-face meeting that we're planning with CSAC and the Sheriff's Association and see where we can come to some kind of an understanding.
We should support them. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I don't want to carry their water is what I'm telling you.
Judge Johnson?
It's just that not all counties are in the same position with respect to the sheriff and court funding. It is a court issue as well.
Yeah.
In a court that's not receiving the service, then I think we're saying we need some resources. You give it to them, but we need the service. The courts are being told, or the sheriffs are reducing service. So I think that there is that rub. Is that do we wait for them to prevail, and if they don't, then we just suffer the lack of resource and the lack of service. So, I mean, to some extent, I mean, I think Kurt's right, is that we at least have to have this conversation as to who, you know, carries the flag on this. But we're, based on the survey that we did recently, there are a number of courts that are short by a lot of money, not a small amount, but, you know, millions of dollars are being projected to be short. And let me tell you this, the revenue, it's a revenue, it's not a requirement of minimum funding. It says that you get a share of whatever sales tax are generated. And so if the sales tax is not growing as anticipated and local costs grow faster, then there's pressure on the county and the sheriffs to reduce service. So while the language in the letter says they shouldn't, it doesn't say they shall not. It's not an absolute requirement upon them. They're trying the best they can through realignment to provide the service. But if they can't, there's no requirement that they shall maintain the same level of service. And it's a very distinct term, shouldn't versus shall. There's a judgment. And the law was written in such a way that it gives the counties an out to the extent that they believe that there's some opportunity to live within the revenues that are provided through the realignment flow of money.
Judge Good?
I'd like to raise a different point. For a number of years, when I've talked to legislators, I've tried to understand what is it that we as a branch need to provide access to justice. And I've never got an answer to that question, either from our branch or from a legislator who's creating our budget. What does it take to provide access to justice in a state of this size? The WAFM group has gone a long way towards beginning to answer that question. We have what we call RAS 2 model FTE needs and average salaries. And I think what we need to do is to undertake to state how much we need to provide access to justice in California. That number is going to be considerably larger than the political numbers that people are talking about. But we've been dealing with this on an incremental basis by sort of melding what we think we might be able to get with what maybe we should ask for a little bit more. And we've been playing a political game when, in fact, we should be stating a principled position that says to provide access requires this many people, this kind of services, and it costs this much money. And then we can say the legislature is giving us 42% of what we need, or 16% of what we need, or 72% of what we need. But I think we ought to define what we need as a branch and have that as a principled position from which we start any negotiation about this. And the work has been very substantially done already. I think we ought to finish that work, and we ought to know what it is that we think, as a matter of principle, we need. Now, that may require that there'll be some parts of that need that are variable. And you can say, well, if you want to provide this much self-help, you need this much. If you want to provide that much, you need that much. But we ought to have a core need and then another portion which may be a little bit variable. But I don't think we know what we need because we haven't defined that. And until we define that, I think we're just playing on a very slippery slope. And I'd rather stand on firm ground than on the slope we've been standing on.
Can I ask Judge Walsh if part of what Judge Good is talking about is an area for your new subcommittee?
Actually, it's a task force.
It's a new task
force. It's a task
force.
And maybe, I think that's different. It's not a working group or an advisory committee. A task force.
I don't know if you know what the charge of your task force is yet.
I do.
But maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
All right. Thank you. First, to answer one part from being on the subcommittee of the funding methodology group, keep in mind this funding methodology we have right now defines workload simply in terms of filings. We all know that's not adequate, but it's the only data we have. So, and based on that, help me here, Steve and others, I think we determined that we needed $700 million more just based on working our WAFM through our current numbers. So our ask this year was maybe 475. The restoration, we needed another $300 million. just to get a fair level of services just based on filings. The chief has appointed a new task force. I'm chairing it. Judge Sal is vice chairing, and there's a lot of able people, most from our funding methodology subcommittee, on it. We expect to have our first meeting in August. One of the reasons for the delay is that the charge to this, our task force, included many factors that came out of the April Judicial Council meeting, many of those recommendations. And time is being taken, one, to make sure that one committee or task force isn't stepping on the toes of another and creating redundancy. And the other is, because the scope that the Judicial Council contemplated is so great, to answer the very question you're quite correctly asking, is what level of resources do we have to deal with it? So one of the issues that our task force, at least in the appointing letter, was asked to deal with was best practices. What should a court deliver? What are our goals? It isn't just responding to filings and churning them through at something approaching the state average. It should be something greater than that. But let's face it, that is going to be a resource-intensive and time-intensive study. I do think we have some measures already in place, whether it's Fast Track or Elkins, et cetera, that deal with best practices, but it's a big study. But I've always said that before we could ever come up with a number you mentioned, and it is the right number to look for, it has to do with more than filings. We have to be able to say, in order to provide true access to justice, which we all want and which the legislature said they want, the number is going to be much greater than even the $700 million, because we're not talking about just doing it. We're talking about doing it right, and that has to be our goal. So the hope is our task force will take on that issue along with several of the others assigned to us. Stay tuned, and we'll find out what resources we can have to help us in that worthy effort.